Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining today's discussion. I'm Ami Copeland, the Executive Director here at Business Forward, and I'll be moderating our conversation today. Currently, all lines are in listen-only mode. We are pleased to welcome Michael Skues, the Acting Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. He is here to discuss recent changes to import and export policies with Cuba, specifically for the U.S. agricultural industry. For those of you who are new to our programming, Business Forward organizes local roundtables, Washington fly-ins, conference calls, webinars, and media trainings for tens of thousands of business leaders from across America. At these briefings, entrepreneurs, investors, small business owners, and executives get the chance to brief policymakers on issues affecting their businesses, on how to create jobs, and how Washington can work better with business to accelerate our economy. To date, more than 450 senior administration officials, members of Congress, governors, and mayors have participated in our programming. This is all thanks to the support of more than 50 of America's largest and most respected companies. As many of you know, our briefings on Cuba policies have been some of our most popular programs. Over the last year, Business Forward has helped nearly 3,000 business leaders learn about the U.S.-Cuba relationship and brief policymakers on the potential they see in Cuba for American businesses. This is the sixth in a series of Cuba conference calls with senior officials from across the administration, from the Department of Treasury and to Department of Commerce and the State Department. We've also organized local business leader roundtables in cities like Tampa and New Orleans, with upcoming events next week in Memphis and Nashville. Before we get started, I'd like to go over a couple housekeeping items. First, this discussion is on the record and reporters may be listening. A recording will be sent out after the call along with the resources we mentioned here today. Second, there will be time for you to ask questions and share your advice. You can do this in one of two ways. You can press 1 at any time to ask your question live, or you can email your question to info@businessfwd.org. We'd like to get in as many questions about Cuba and agriculture as we can. Again, you can press 1 to ask your question live, or you can send your question via email to info@businessfwd.org, and we'll add it to the queue. All right, now let's get started. Please welcome USDA Acting Deputy Secretary Michael Skues. Michael?
Well, thank you, Ami. We greatly appreciate everyone being on the call today. We're looking forward to expanding markets for American agriculture. It's been a priority for the Obama administration, and we look forward into building relationships and looking at potential markets like Cuba. It certainly is important and crucial for us to continue the great trade numbers that we have been experiencing over the last 7 years. If you look at the trade over the last few years, 7 years, we're just under $1 trillion. So we're looking at all the possibilities to expand markets going forward. We've also been looking at developing a collaborative relationship with the Cuban Ministry of Agriculture. Many of our U.S. producers are, in fact, eager to meet Cuba's needs for health and safety and nutritious food. To that point, Secretary Vilsack has actually visited Cuba twice, looking at building an agricultural partnership. As many of you know, Secretary Vilsack first traveled to Cuba in November with four members of Congress. And his trip actually helped restart what was a long dormant agriculture relationship, and we think that his visit built a platform for future cooperation with agriculture with Cuba, especially when it comes to issues like animal and plant health. As many of you know, citrus greening is an issue that we have here in the United States. Working with them on that issue, biotechnology, organics, and climate-smart agriculture as well, which is also an issue that they have pointed out to the Secretary. On the Secretary's second trip to Cuba, it was with President Obama in March. The Secretary signed a memorandum of understanding to advance our agricultural collaboration. This MOU established a framework of cooperation in eight key areas: sanitary and phytosanitary issues, research and scientific methods in animal and plant health issues, organic production, post-harvest handling and certification, climate smart agriculture and practices related to biotechnology, meteorology, and climate change, science-based standards related to agricultural trade, soil and forest conservation, irrigation, and the eighth was other fields that would be determined by the participants, signers of the MOU. Not too long ago, we recognized the need for our companies and industry representatives to visit and to look at ways to promote agriculture, to build a foundation going forward. So what we're allowing now is for 22 industry-funded research and promotion programs, as well as the 18 specialty crop marketing organizations, to conduct authorized research and information exchanges with Cuba. That announcement was made in March. The activities are, in fact, though, limited to information exchanges with the Cuban government and industry officials, to health, science, nutrition, and limited consumer-oriented research. So far to date, the Agricultural Marketing Service, or AMS, has received 11 requests for USDA approvals to participate in that research and promotion program. Since March, U.S. and Cuban agricultural officials, we haven't been engaged at many different times. In April, we did send a technical team to Havana to create a work plan that addresses areas that were, in fact, identified in the MOU. Just this past June, I welcomed the Cuban Minister of Agriculture, Minister Rodriguez, here to Washington, D.C. Very engaging conversation. We talked about the potential bilateral trade between our countries and some of the needs and interest from the Cuban ministry. Secretary Vilsack also hosted the minister after his visit here to Washington. The secretary hosted the minister on a tour in Iowa of several important agricultural states. I think many of you know that we are working with the Department of State to establish an in-country presence to support agriculture's critical role in our U.S.-Cuba relationship. As it expands, we believe that agriculture is going to be a key. Our agricultural exports, as you well know, are still limited by the U.S. restrictions on government export assistance, cash payments, and extensions of credit, which are severely limiting our ability to do trade with agriculture trade with Cuba. This action, you know, in order to do more of these programs, such as the export assistance programs or cash payments, extension of credit, that's going to take a legislative change. So we're hoping that we can get that done in the not too distant future, so that it would allow our U.S. companies to be on a level playing field with our competitors. Right now, we are at a competitive disadvantage because we cannot use those programs. We're at a disadvantage to countries like Brazil, as well as member countries of the European Union. But as soon as those changes do take place, we're going to do what we can to ensure that U.S. agriculture has a bright future in Cuba. We do, as I stated earlier, we do need a permanent presence in Havana to effectively carry out the mission. We need the Foreign Agricultural Service, as well as the Animal, Plant, and Health Inspection Service, to be down there We believe that those two agencies do, in fact, have the budget resources at least to maintain a minimum presence in Havana at this particular time. When you look at Cuba, you're looking at a country that has 11 million people, and they consume almost $2 billion worth of imported food. But if you look at our trade in Cuba from 2014 to 2015, our trade to Cuba, our agriculture trade exports, dropped 48% to a low of $148.8 million. Now, if you go back and look at what our trade number was, I believe, at about 2008, that number, I believe, was over $600 million. So we've seen a tremendous drop in our exports again because we're not able to use our trade promotion programs and our credit programs, and our competitors are, in fact, using their programs to promote their products. In 2015, the four major exports from the United States to Cuba in this particular order were poultry, soybean meal, soybeans, and corn. But it's interesting, the first week of this month, Cuba made its first purchase of U.S. soybean oil in 5 years. It was 7,600 metric tons. That's the largest shipment to Cuba since 2010. So with that, let me wrap up by just mentioning what has happened in the Senate over the last week. I think the Senate has taken some major steps when it comes to agriculture and making the changes that are necessary for us, again, to promote American agricultural products to Cuba. Four things that the Senate Appropriations Committee did last week. They approved an amendment to lift the ban on private sector agricultural export financing. We think that this is going to be a huge benefit to agricultural products in the United States. That's a major issue for our companies right now. Getting products into Cuba is the lack of export financing. Another key factor we believe is the amendment to lift the travel ban. When you look at the other two, the amendment that would allow U.S. companies to export consumer communications devices, and the final one, an amendment to allow flights bound for Cuba to make technical stops at American airports. I think those four are key and definitely headed in the right direction. But when it comes to agriculture, the first two that I mentioned, I believe, are key. Lifting the ban on export financing, as well as lifting the travel ban. I think both of those are going to go a long way to helping us get more agricultural products into Cuba and allowing our citizens to visit Cuba, which would also increase the demand for more agricultural products. So with that, let me turn it over, Ami, back to you for any questions.
Thank you so much, Secretary. Now we will open up to your questions and your comments. As a reminder, if you have a question, please press 1 to ask your question live on the call, or you can email your question to info@businessfwd.org. As you can probably imagine, we have a number of questions already submitted. We also have a number of people indicating that they would like to ask a question. So we're going to go first with a question submitted online. This is from Alexander Kukulis in Savannah, Georgia. The question is, can you comment on any barriers that would prohibit the export of GMOs or GMO-containing products from the U.S. to Cuba? And he has a follow-up question, which I think a lot of folks are asking about as well, is can you also comment on the import of raw sugar from Cuba and what, if any, restrictions would apply to the specific commodity?
Well, to the first issue on GMO, I'm not aware right now of any restrictions that would prohibit any export of GMO products to Cuba. As I stated, they are currently importing soybeans from the United States and soybean oil, soybean meal, which I think you all are well aware are GMO products. But I'm not aware of any restrictions. As to the sugar issue, there is no automatic guarantee or access to the U.S. market for sugar from Cuba. So I know that I've heard from some questions from some others, but there is no automatic TRQ granted to Cuba for sugar to be exported to the United States.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. And we're going to go live to our first caller, and this is from Mark Albertson in Illinois. Mark, your line's open.
Yeah, hi, Deputy Secretary. This is Mark Albertson with Illinois Soybean. And first, thanks for all of your efforts and the USDA efforts in particular when it comes to the checkoff. But my question has to do with some of the headlines that were appearing yesterday and the day before about coffee. USA Today mentioned that coffee has been approved for import into the U.S. from Cuba. That was just something that happened in April, and I was wondering if the USDA was involved in that decision with the State Department to allow coffee to be removed from the list of banned imports, and if the USDA was involved in that decision, what was the thought process and how did that come about?
Well, I can't get into the full process, but I can tell you that the USDA was involved in the discussions that ultimately led to that decision. But as far as the details, I was not part of that discussion, so I can't get into the details. But I can tell you that USDA was involved in the decision-making process.
I'm sorry. Our next question is coming from Ralph Kaler in St. Charles, Minnesota. Ralph, your line is open.
Thank you for the call, Mr. Secretary. I appreciate all your efforts on everything with Cuba. We've been working with trade or trying to get trade started with Cuba since 2002. And I think the new change on efforts, right now it's a one-way sale. In Minnesota, we have to export half of our corn and soybeans. We're right on the Mississippi, and this gives us an advantage once for going down to islands like Cuba instead of having to go to the coast. We appreciate your efforts, but what do you think the prospects are for getting the House to move forward with some of the amendments that are being brought forward?
Well, we're hopeful that the House will agree to the measures that are put forth by the Senate. We think that it's very positive. I think, you know, as time goes on, I think more and more of our representatives and senators are realizing that we do need to make the changes for a whole host of reasons. So we're hopeful that going forward that the House and the Senate can find some common ground on these issues and move forward and eliminate the barriers that we are currently facing. You know, coming from state government, I do know that the State Departments of Agriculture, many of the State Departments of Agriculture have been working since 2002 to open up markets in Cuba and trade with Cuba. So the states have worked very, very hard at helping their producers. And you're right. With the Mississippi River and the ports that we have in the Gulf of Mexico, we have a huge advantage, if in nothing else, just in transportation cost from our Gulf Coast ports to Cuba. When you look at a country that's just 90 miles off our coast, we've got a huge advantage. So if we can get the House and the Senate to agree on eliminating the barriers that we're facing. Our transportation advantage will give us a huge leg up on our competitors.
Excellent. Thank you. Our next question was actually submitted online from Penelope Farthing here in Washington. And the question is, what remaining restrictions are in place affecting agricultural trade with Cuba?
Well, again, if you look at, we don't have the ability to extend financing on our exports. That's a major barrier for us. It's one that we certainly would like to overcome. And if you look at our marketing and promotion programs that we have here at the Department of Agriculture, our farm market development program, and our market access program, these are two hugely successful programs that we use in other countries to promote U.S. agricultural exports that we currently are prohibited from using here at the department for those exports to Cuba. So right there, those are two tremendous barriers that we really do need to have lifted if we're going to make meaningful access into that market. Again, when you look at a country of 11 million people and they're importing $2 billion worth of agricultural products, when you look at the low amount of exports that are coming from the United States, if we can eliminate those barriers, I think we'll see a tremendous increase in our export numbers to Cuba.
Great, thank you. We're going to go live to the lines for our next caller, and this is Joe James in Columbia, South Carolina. Joe, your line's open.
Hello. My company is involved in renewable energy and produce growing and processing various types of biocrops. Are there any, did I hear correctly that there may be initiatives between Cuba and the U.S. that relate to renewable energy, sustainability, biomass production, and processing?
Well, I think when you look at the MOU, and if you look at what's in that MOU, where you look at climate smart agriculture and other practices related to biotechnology, meteorology, climate change, and if you look at another area where it was soil and forest conservation, and then the very last part of that MOU said, and other fields as determined by participants. I think you can look at that there is definitely going to be an interest in other types of renewable energy. And I believe that when the minister was with Secretary Vilsack in Iowa, that they did visit a biofuels plant while there. So there's definitely some interest there, and I think, probably some opportunities at some point in time in the future.
Excellent. Thank you. Our next question is from Sarita Jackson in Los Angeles, California. Sarita, your line's open.
Hi, great. Thank you so much for this conference call. My question pertains to some of the processes and procedures in Cuba. For example, I know that mainly with agricultural exports, you have to go through Alimport, and I'm wondering how that impacts agricultural exporters from the United States in terms of being able to compete, and are there any discussions between the U.S. and Cuba to allow for more direct exchanges between producers in the United States and Cuba?
Yeah, we right now, presently, you are exactly right. We are only allowed to trade with Alimport at the current time. And as we proceed with information exchanges and getting some of the restrictions lifted, that'll definitely be a conversation that we're going to have to allow us to do the direct trading with other companies like most other countries do. But right now we're currently only allowed to trade through Alimport. So But hopefully, as some of the restrictions and the bans are lifted, we'll have the same opportunities that our competitors currently have. As a former Secretary of Agriculture for the state of Delaware, I had the opportunity to visit Cuba twice, and so I took companies down there where we actually did have to deal directly with Alimport to get their products into the country. But again, once the restrictions are lifted, we're hopeful that we'll have the same opportunities that other countries have and be able to deal directly with other businesses.
Thank you very much. And our next question is actually coming from George Keene in Charlottesville, Virginia. George, your line's open.
Good afternoon. I work with an equipment dealer selling equipment to agricultural farmers and so forth in the U.S. here. Is there going to be anything open in commerce with Cuba for agricultural equipment?
Well, we already have had a small manufacturer do sales of equipment to Cuba. So, again, when you look at the current state of agriculture on the island, I think you're going to see that there's going to be a need for equipment going forward as their agricultural sector grows and becomes more profitable. But we already have had one small company do equipment sales in Cuba.
Excellent. Thank you. And we've actually had a couple of questions submitted online asking where they can find a copy of the MOU you are referring to. I was wondering if you could let us know about that.
We'll get the information to you. I don't have it available to me right now, but we will get the information to you so that you can get it out so that they can take a look at the MOU.
Great. Thank you. Our next question is coming from Rudolph James. Rudolph, your line, or Jones, I apologize. Your line's open.
Hello, hi. How's everyone today?
Very good. Thank you.
Awesome. And thank you again for the opportunity. The reason why I was calling, I was looking at, I know back in the, back a while back, I believe before 2015, there was restrictions on the telecommunications, doing telecommunications business with Cuba. I actually have a kind of a virtual call center that I have here, and I'm in North Carolina. And I was looking at, I know there's going to be a need for some type of customer service and communication back and forth with the companies doing business with Cuba. And how hard would it be for a small company to get in and to do some telecommunications business with Cuba?
Well, right now I think that restriction, in fact, I'm confident that restriction is still in place. That's one of the things that I believe the Senate Appropriations Committee looked at, because when you look at one of the four amendments that they passed this past week, one amendment would allow U.S. companies to export consumer communications devices and telecommunications services to Cuba. So the ban is still currently in place, but their language would eliminate that restriction. So again, this is something that they're going to have to work out with the House and conference and see where it goes. But right now, that restriction is still in place. I'm not going to, theorize on how easy it would be for a company to do business there once this restriction is, in fact, lifted.
Thank you. And the next question is actually submitted online from Chris Rosender, and he's working with Sunmade Growers of California in Kingsburg, California. And his question is, Sunmade would like to export raisins to Cuba and potentially import dried mango from Cuba. So the question is, which agency does Sunmade need to get approval from to try to facilitate or get approval for this transaction?
They would have to get in contact with the Animal Plant Health Inspection Service, or AFIS. they would be the agency. They are the agency that looks at the imports of any product from any country to ensure that those products are going to be disease-free, insect-free, and are healthy for our consumers. So they would have to go through APHIS to look at the ability to import anything from another country, especially Cuba.
Great, thank you. And as a reminder, if you'd like to ask your question live, please press 1 to be entered into the queue. You can also submit your questions online via email to info@businessfwd.org. And we actually have a question submitted online, a little bit specific, but and this is from Humberto Rodriguez at the Cuba Chamber of Commerce in Dallas, Texas. And the question is, are there any plans to clear land in the Marabu area to develop agricultural products?
That's a question I can't answer. I mean, that is very specific and would have to be posed to one of the Cuban government officials, because I can't answer that question.
Great, thank you. Our next question actually is coming from Barbara McMahon in Louisiana. And the question is, what are the prospects for Cuban farmers to be certified organic? How long do you think this would take? And what criteria is USDA looking at for giving Cuban farmers organic certification?
Well, the organic certification comes through the Agricultural Marketing Service. They're going to have to go through the same process that any other country that wants to export organic products to the United States has to go through. You know, as far as timeliness, it's not a process that's going to occur overnight. But if they wanted to export organic products to the United States, they have to go through the same process. But currently, they do not have an internationally recognized organic product certification program, and they would have to have that in order to be export products, organic products to the United States. So, again, they're going to have to go through all the same process as any other country. Now, having said that, there is interest in my conversation with the minister a couple weeks ago when he was here. That is one area that they are, in fact, interested in pursuing, and that's the export of organic products. But again, they're going to have to go through the same process as any other country.
Great, thank you. Our next question is actually coming from Horace Clemens in Alabama. Horace, your line's open.
Hello, thanks for the opportunity. Recently, I believe I'm correct, there were some changes that would allow farmers to finance their agricultural products that they export to Cuba. Was I correct on that?
Not to my knowledge. You still cannot finance any agricultural exports, to the best of my knowledge. That's one of the prohibitions. We're not allowed to extend any credit for any exports. The change you may be thinking about is the change where previously, before a product left a port in the United States, it had to be paid for up front. And that was changed so that we did not have to have payment received before the product actually left the port. I believe it has to be, the product has to be paid for before it reaches a port of entry in Cuba.
Excellent, thank you. Next question is from Renee Strickland in Florida. Renee, your line's open.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I actually export live animals, mostly cattle, and I'm the president for the Livestock Exporters Association of the U.S. And I've actually had a couple of exports of live cattle and semen to Cuba in the past, so I've got some experience dealing with Allen Port, and but it's been a few years. My question to you is, I've got two, actually. One, I wanted to know if there has been any talk with Secretary Vilsack's visit request of maybe repopulating their cattle herds, because Cuba was once a huge cattle and sugar island. And that's my first question, if there has been any requests or discussions about live cattle. And also, this is one that might be too specific. It's similar to the gentleman from Texas, from Roberto. Are they discussing anything about leasing land out? Have they leased land to other countries to develop? And those are my two questions.
The answer to your second question is I don't know if they have leased land to other countries or not. I can't answer that. Again, that's a question that would be better posed to the government officials in Cuba. I don't know of any, but I can't answer that question. As far as the animal genetics, I know in my past conversations with government officials, there is a great deal of interest in livestock genetics from the United States. So, in my previous conversations, there was a great deal of interest. So I think, you know, once we get the restrictions lifted, I think there's some really good opportunities for our livestock industry. I know there was a great deal of interest in the past in our dairy industry here in the United States, and they were looking at rebuilding their dairy industry in Cuba. So I think there's a great deal of opportunity once we get some of these restrictions lifted.
We have time for two more questions, and we have one submitted online. This is from Wes Ward in Little Rock, Arkansas. It says, Mr. Secretary, with the prospects of lifting the travel ban to Cuba and resulting significant increase in Cuban tourism, what other agricultural products do you see as benefiting from trade with Cuba beside the four you previously listed, poultry, soybeans, soybean meal, and corn? And specifically, what do you see as a prospects for U.S. rice due to the Cubans having the highest per capita rice consumption in the Western Hemisphere?
Well, that's an outstanding question. I think the potential for rice exports from the United States has one of, if not the highest potential. Again, when you look at the consumption per capita, it's very high, and there's no doubt about it that we have some of the best rice producers and highest quality product to be found anywhere in the world. So I think there's a great potential for rice. And then if you look at the fruit and vegetable industry from the United States, as the tourism industry, especially from the United States, grows, the demand for those types of products will continue to grow. So there's when you look at equipment manufacturers, the possibility to expand sales of equipment down there, again, fruits, vegetables, rice, our livestock industry, I think, will go have a great potential to expand their presence in Cuba. So all of those products, I think, really do have a great potential. And again, you know, right now we're at a competitive disadvantage with the other trading partners because we can't use our marketing programs and we cannot extend the credit. But you put us on a level playing field, I think you're going to see that number of $148.8 million jump overnight to a very, very respectable number.
Great, thank you. And our final question is coming from Hunter Wilkinson in Nashville, Tennessee. Hunter, your line's open.
Thank you for the opportunity today to be with you guys. My question is, I've heard in the past couple months or couple weeks that there has been some emergency calls for, one, the soybean oil that you've talked about, because they've run out due to the people coming there, and also I heard they ran out of beer twice and had to import beer from Mexico. So I was wondering, what are some initial steps that we could take to be on the top of the list when opportunities like this arise in the future?
Well, I think, you know, those are some of the things that we're looking here at USDA. I know the State Departments of Agriculture are looking at ways that that they can grasp these opportunities when they arise. you know, one of the biggest things that would help us is if we had a USDA presence in the country, so that we would learn about these opportunities before other countries do, and hopefully we can get that accomplished in the not too distant future. But just the USDA having a presence there would be a huge benefit. But again, I think USDA working together with our State Departments of Agriculture to look at some of these opportunities and how we can fill those needs is going to be very important. I know that over the last probably 10, 12 months, there have been a lot of delegations going from the states. Governors going, secretaries, commissioners, directors of agriculture going, some of them going with their governors when they go, I'm hoping that they're building relationships down there with their government officials so that when needs like you just mentioned arise, that they'll be able to have some contacts down there as well. But again, the best thing that we could do would be for us to have a presence of USDA in Cuba, and again, we're hoping that happens sooner rather than later. The quicker it happens, I think the better off we're all going to be.
Great, thank you. That is all we have time for today. There were a number of questions and comments we weren't able to get to. If you have not yet, please send your question in an email to info@businessfwd.org, and we'll help you get an answer. Please check your email for a post-event survey. We always seek your input on our programming and appreciate your feedback. This email will also include a recording of today's call and all the resources that were mentioned today. Of course, and once again, a special thank you to Michael Skews and the entire staff at USDA, to everyone who joined. I hope you all have a great day. And once again, Acting Deputy Secretary, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, Ami, I want to thank you for putting this call together, and I want to thank everyone for being on the call. The questions were great, and I really enjoyed having the opportunity to speak with everyone. But again, I want to thank all of you for being on the call, and Ami, I want to thank you for putting this together. So I hope all of you have a very good rest of the week. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, and take care.